Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Say good morning on a Thursday. Hello, Mark Schlereth.
Well, hello, Michael. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Got all the Christmas lights up yesterday around the house.
Did you now?
Yeah, you know, did the big unveil. You know, didn't do it piecemeal. You know, did not like do a couple trees, shrubs, and then put them on. Nope, waited. And then I did the full Griswold. Just
plugged it in.
Brought everything together.
And then the whole power grid shut down.
That's right.
Did it stay on?
Lakewood went dark.
Did it stay on?
It stayed on.
Look at you.
Look at me.
Look at you.
You know, last week or so, I was watching my neighbors, you know, put up a little bit here, a little bit there. I'm like, aren't they cute? I'm like, get ready.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, good for you. I used to do that.
Now you pay for somebody to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Just like your lawn?
You son of a... You take that back.
You take that back. There are boundaries.
Now, yeah, there are things that... Now, I used to do the whole thing. Probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I threw my hands up. I was like, I am gone all the time. And it always happened to be... Well, was yesterday nice?
Yeah, it was a nice day, yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
so...
You know, a little cloudy, but nice.
Right, yeah. I never checked the weather. The last time I did it... I don't ever, like, my wife's always, well, what's it supposed to be there when you're going, I don't know. Like, how are you getting to the airport? I don't know. Like, when you get to the airport, what hotel are you staying at? I don't know. She says, how do you even function? I go, well, I just show up to the airport and there's somebody with a sign that has my name on it. I just go. Like, if you wanted to kidnap me, all you have to do is stand in the airport with a sign with my name on it. I go, okay, let's go. Where are we going? You can take me wherever you wanted to. So,
wow, that sounds real enticing.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't, you would bring me back. It would only take a short time.
Boy, but he talks a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is worth it.
I'm exhausted already. So the last time I did it, of course I didn't check the weather because I never do, right? And I go, Mom, I'm going to do it on this day, honey. I cut back, this is back when I was working at ESPN. I was like, I'll be back on Saturday. I'm doing it on Saturday. Of course, it's 4 degrees out, right? It's just colder than, you know, I don't know what. And I was out there all day. You know, lights, you know how you plug them in first, you test them, and all right, this works. And then you put it up and you plug it back in and there's three things that are out. And you're like, what the hell happened? You know, and it's freezing cold and it almost killed me. And then finally I said, that's it. That's the last time I'm doing it. You got to hire somebody.
Oh, I enjoy doing it. I love doing it.
Yeah,
so for all of you out there, hope you're having fun. Hope it looks good, festive, and all of that. More winter. Well, by the way, speaking of weather, we've got more rain and snow coming in today. So you're getting a chance to miss out on that. But you did not or will not miss out on our first real chance to hear a lot from Drew Locke yesterday, as he's now established as the quarterback, the guy. And with being the guy, does that come with added veteran leadership type responsibilities?
Well, I can just kind of start being the face of these guys around here, especially in the huddle. Just being able to show them a little bit more of me as a leader, and even out there on the field in the game, not necessarily practice, but even out on the field. They saw a little bit of my confidence last week. I'm hoping that we can, you know, come out and play extremely well, and, you know, hopefully we can just keep building confidence around this place.
Have you been holding back?
No, I wouldn't say I've been holding back, but, you know, I had to get my feet wet a little bit and see what it was all about, just stay a little composed in the moment for sure. But no, I think I'll just start, you know, showing more and more myself.
All right. So as a veteran player, I'm asking you as a veteran player, when the young quarterback comes in and you experienced it here in Denver with, let's say, Brian Griese, I would think that typically with a lot of young players, it's better off if they're seen and not heard. But do you want your young quarterback to come out and assert himself and be more vocal, Or does it sort of ring a little hollow coming from a guy who hasn't done anything yet?
Well, no. I mean, you want the guy to be in charge. I don't know about, you know, you don't need to cuss me out or anything like that, you know. You don't need to be screaming and yelling. But, you know, to be in charge, to make sure you have charge of the huddle, let's roll, let's do this, let's go in and out of the huddle, come on. Like, you know, have that kind of confidence about you in the huddle. There's nothing wrong with that. And just because you're a young guy doesn't mean you can't be one of the leaders on the football team. Doesn't mean, like, there was no question. I always use this example. But you know, when Al Wilson came in.
Yeah.
Ain't no he's a rookie. There's no question. He's like, oh shoot, that dude's a little different, you know? He's put together a little different. There's no question who became just through the way he presented himself, the way he played, and his, like, his, him being vocal was not like an affront to the rest of the veterans. It was like, that guy's in charge. I'm sure Ray Lewis was the same way when he came into Baltimore. He's just in charge.
Now, Vic Fangio talking about Drew Lock. I want you to listen closely. Here's Fangio and what he saw from Lock.
Just that I think he did a good job handling the situation. Pre-snap, emotionally, didn't feel like it got too big for him at any point in the game. That was kind of the most encouraging. You know, just some better throws in some situations, a little bit more accuracy, just general improvement all the way across the board. And obviously the one thing that everybody notices is the throws. So I thought he missed a couple the other day, but that's to be expected. Hopefully he misses less this game.
It has been suggested this week, mainly by James Marilat from 1043thefan.com, that why has Vic come across like such a wet blanket? Why can't he really do more to, you know, be publicly pumping up Drew Lock and praising Drew Lock, and, you know, even suggested that Lock should have received a game ball after getting his first professional win the other day. You know, we know Vic. He's an old school coach. Is there something to that, or do you think that he should, you know, continue to be kind of gruff Vic when it comes to young players like Lock?
I think he should be whoever he is. If that's who Vic Fangio is, that's who he needs to be. Like, don't all of a sudden get out of character, all of a sudden change the way you've been with everybody else. Has he done the same things with Von Miller?
Right.
He can be better. He can be, like, don't change the person that you are. Like, don't ever do that. Now, there are some things that oftentimes I think you just need to keep your mouth shut on. That's a little bit different. But don't change who you are just because, you know, a rookie played decent.
Yeah, it reminds me back in the days when I was covering Bill Parcells when he was coaching in New England. Whenever a young player, like, flashed, it's anything, right? Like, one day, Willie McGinnis, I think, had a really good game early on, rookie
right.
career. And he'd just be like, Fellas, that was always his thing.
Yeah.
Just go, fellas, hey, let's not put him in Canton just yet.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So, there you go. All right, the best of Joel Klatt coming up. Does he think Rich Scangarello is coaching for his job these final 4 weeks? That's next.
Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank Business. Banking for good. Member FDIC.
Every week at this time, we give you a chance, you great 6 a.m. listeners who may have missed Joel Klatt on yesterday with his normal time around 8 o'clock, give you the best of Klatt, which started with him giving us his opinion on wrinkles, Rich Scangarello, and whether or not he's coaching for his job these final 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's an interesting conversation, I got to tell you, because everything that Fink just said, think you're 1,000% right. And yet there's also the adage that I really believe deep down in my heart about this sport, which is, as a coach, what you see on film, you're either coaching or allowing. You know, so to some extent it is the tight end's problem that he is not making those blocks. There it's 100%. But you also have to hold the coach responsible for whether he knows that or not. Like, why isn't he getting it done? So, man, this is a tough one because mediocrity is invading, you know, I feel like every part of our society, and I feel like we do need to hold people accountable, whether it's players or coaches. The problem here lies in, at least in my estimation, the problem lies in the fact that when the front office decides to hold a player accountable, they're also bringing an indictment on themselves. And that is where I feel like the rub is. They're much more hesitant to have an indictment of the player or an evaluation of the player rather than the coach, because the coach is cheaper, it's easier, it's a revolving door. People generally get behind, like, okay, we'll just switch this, and we made the change. Okay, here we go. So I think it's tough, Stink. I really do, because, you know, maybe both areas need to be changed. Let's be honest, because as much as I agree with everything that you said, Rich's offense is not very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not innovative. He doesn't build on his play calls. His sequencing is not great. I just don't, you know, nothing about it screams dynamic, or nothing about it to me says, like, hey, we're really attacking the defense. They just run concepts. And that's what the majority of offensive coordinators do. They're like, hey, look at me. Look at what I did on Tuesday night, everybody. Here's this shift and this motion, and I think it's going to do this. And the sequencing and the building of the play, the building of the game plan throughout the game doesn't generally happen, and I don't feel like that happens with Denver.
What do you do, Joel? I mean, what do you do if you, like, as a young coordinator, and I think this is all of us, as young players, as a young quarterback at CU, you know, you weren't as good as you were as an older quarterback once you had seen the things you've seen. As a young broadcaster, the first year you did, you know, you were the lead analyst on Fox's College Game of the Week. You know, you weren't as good as you are now. I mean, and you're tremendous at it. So, I mean, we all grow through that process. At what point do you say, hey, if this young coordinator, if we give him some more pieces, you know, he's going to get better. He's going to grow in that role. And at what point do you say, hey, man, he's just not good enough?
Very rarely do we as people grow just through experience. Generally, we need, you know, teaching. So you've got to go through. That's why child rearing is so important. That's why all of you out there that are parents, this is why it's so important to take small mistakes with your children and address them, is because experience alone doesn't do anything for us. You know, it's like going out there and practicing a hook on the range. You're just going to get good at hitting a hook. You know, I mean, that's all it is. You're just going to practice bad habits. Generally, we need boundaries. We need parenting as kids. We need teaching as students. We need coaching as players and as young coordinators. What you need is you need an opportunity to grow under somebody that will hold you accountable, teach you through it, suggest things through it. Go back and create a hindsight page or packet, if you will, about, hey, this is what was good in this game plan. This is what I wish I would have done during the course of the game. This is how I'm going to become a better play caller. And I generally believe that it's really tough to do that without some sort of outside influence or pressure.
What did you think of Drew Lock's first game? What do you think of his first outing as a starting quarterback of the Broncos?
I thought it was pretty good. I got to tell you, like, I was pleasantly surprised. I've been a little bit of a doubter. I don't want to be, you know, like negative Nancy, but based on what I saw in college, based on what we've been hearing about him not being ready, so on and so forth, I was a bit of a doubter. I thought he competed better than I thought he would. And it comes down to this, guys, and it really doesn't matter what the name is on the back of your jersey, where you were drafted. It's about getting the ball on time and on target. I think that's something that from a consistency basis, he can struggle with at times. But I thought he played pretty well against San Diego. I really did.
What's the next step for him, especially as you go up against the Texans on the road?
Well, I mean,
how do you game plan?
We don't really think they're going to beat the Texans.
Well, no, but how do you put together a game plan to continue his development without getting him crushed?
Mike, this is a great question and speaks directly to the point of readiness, right? So you argued with me all season long about, like, well, I don't care if he's ready. He's got to go play because we got to see it.
Right.
And then you just posed the golden question. So how do we build a game plan that allows him to have any amount of sex?
Whoa. Escalating quickly.
Without getting crushed, right?
Yeah.
Like, therein lies the rub. And if it were me, what I would try to do is everything that Denver can't do. Run the football effectively. Have the short passing game. Run action pass. Run action pass is when it's not about. So difference between run action and play action pass really quickly. Play action pass is that you're going to have a protection associated with the run fake. So you're actually going to make a call, ID it, and you're going to actually have a protection. So you're going to understand where the offensive linemen are going. Run action pass, they are in a run action mode. That doesn't mean it's an RPO. It means that they're in a run action mode. So if you're going to boot out, it's like reach and run gap and a half for the offensive line or something along those lines. I would have a lot of run action pass associated with the game plan. I would get into the RPOs, which is something that he did in college. I would give him every opportunity to put the curl flat and support defenders of the defense in conflict and on as many as snaps as I possibly can. That conflict, I think, is really important because one thing that you don't want as a young quarterback at any point in the National Football League is to be in an obvious down situation where the defense knows what you need to do and they know what you want to do and then they can tee off on it. So they've got to be on schedule. They've got to run the football and then they've got to have conflict plays based on that base down situation.
All right. There he is. The best of Joel Klatz. Each and every week he is presented by Audi Flatirons. Coming up next, it is the Morning Brew and we'll hear from Vic Fangio, Drew Locke, Philip Lindsay. And how about the Avalanche? Have they been able to survive the worst that this season's going to throw at them? That's all coming up next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning, and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. There's some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on.
Some better throws in some situations, a little bit more accuracy, just general improvement all the way across the board. And obviously the one thing that everybody notices is the throws. So I thought he missed a couple the other day, but that's to be expected. Hopefully he misses less this game.
You know, it's been a bit of a discussion this week. You know, Vic Fangio and the way that he talks about his players. In fact, we're going to have James Marillac coming on in about 10 minutes, and he's been the chief critic of that. And I don't know, Mark, you know, you think about coaches, and you played for Mike Shanahan, you played for Joe Gibbs, and I got to cover Bill Parcells and Mike Shanahan, and, you know, we followed Belichick over the this notion that you got to prop these guys up with all kinds of flowery praise. I don't know. Is that where we're at right now? Or are these guys, they can't handle just, you know, sort of a gruffer, more realistic, hey, why don't you prove it to me, kid, type approach?
It certainly has changed to some degree. But, I always say this. The one thing you have to be as a coach when you get your opportunity is you've got to be authentic. You've got to be you. You know, I think you've got to be kind of honest. I mean, you can't go out of your way just to destroy guys, but you can't get all flowery and sunshine like you talked about Bill Parcells. Let's hold off on putting Drew Locke into the Hall of Fame right now, right? Let's let him play a little bit. He did some really nice things. There's some things that he needs to improve upon. And I think everybody that looked at Drew Locke, the one thing you could take away from that performance, even if people are like, oh no, we need to go get a top five quarterback because that's the only way you can win. Even those guys, the DMAC brigade that like that kind of style. I would tell you this is that, you know, Drew Locke had really good poise. And the moment didn't look too big for him. And that, to me, is impressive. That to me, was a really good thing.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Where does my confidence come from? I don't think there's an exact thing I can point to. It's just kind of who I've been throughout sports, not just football, but basketball and everything that I've played. I think I've been through some tough times in sports to where, you know, I feel like I can come out of mostly any bad times that I'm going to have to where I should just always stay confident because, you know, if it is bad, I'm 100% sure I can come out of it and make something good from it.
Well, that's always something we talk about with young players. Does he carry himself with the requisite amount of swagger, right, confidence? Does he exude the right kind of leadership qualities? It's early, but what are your early impressions of Locke?
My early impressions were good. My early impressions, like, again, I don't care what he sounds like at the podium, right? I heard Brock Osweiler at the podium.
Good ball point. Security is job security.
Right. I heard Brock at the... If Brock was as good on the field as he was on the podium, he'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, he would.
He'd be the GOAT. There's just no question. So I'm not worried about a dude's podium presence. What I'm concerned with is what he looks like on the football field. And again, Drew Locke for me passed the eye test on the football field. I mean, some of the third downs, early third downs that he, you know, scrambled, he moved around, he kept his eyes down the field, he made completions. Some of those completions were like thrown against the grain, back to the tight end. You know, I mean, he did some really nice things. That to me is that's big time quarterback play.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I mean, just make a play. You know what I mean? A guy like Bosa is hard to break a tackle from. He's one of the best in the NFL. But I was able to do it and get a first down and help my team continue the drive. And we were able to score a field goal, I think, on that drive. So, you know, whatever I have to do to help the team, that's what I want to do. I just want to win games, man.
So as we've been debating wrinkles all week, whether or not he's coaching for his job, what he needs to do over these final 4 weeks, are you satisfied with the way that Philip Lindsay has been deployed this year?
That's an interesting question. That's a really interesting question. Because I think that Philip Lindsay, I think I would like to see more Philip Lindsay. But at what cost, Mike?
What do you mean what cost?
Last year
he
got hurt.
He's a running back.
Yeah.
You use him up and spit him out and bring in the next one. Sorry. I mean, I don't mean to sound so callous, but they're running backs.
But I'm just saying if your next one is Dumbledore and your next one is, you know, the guys that aren't as producing, Freeman has not produced as much as we would like to see. Like, you know, that to me would be a concern. I'd like to see more of Philip Lindsay. That's all I can tell you. I'd like to see more of Philip Lindsay.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Hockey's a weird sport. I mean, any professional sport, I think, just when you gain momentum, you know, you're a hard team to beat. It seems like when you're losing some games, it's like, you know, when are you going to win the next one? So it's a roller coaster of a season. You just got to be able to stay even keel.
Nazem Kadri, a successful return to Toronto as the Avalanche kicked off a quick three-game Northeast swing with a win at Toronto. Hey, give the Avs, Mark, a lot of credit. They've been hit hard with injuries. They rode it out. They're getting guys back, and now they seem poised to take off again. They slid a little bit in the standings. At one point, you looked up, and they were in the wild card spot, but I think they take off now. And I know their record is not as good, and they're not situated as lofty as the Nuggets are in the standings. But if I had to, I said this early in the season, I'll say it again. If I had to handicap one team or the other, best chance to go to the Western Conference Finals and beyond, I still think it's the Avalanche, and it's for all the characteristics that they've shown through adversity.
Yeah, they have shown that they're a top notch, very tough, can deal with adversity organization. and they're a boot. They're a boot playing the game.
I tell you what, there was a lot to talk about from last night's game, and then they're in Montreal tonight, where there'll be even more to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Grab yourself a Molson.
Yeah.
Millennial Ben's like, that's enough. Move on. All right. Thank you, Millennial Ben. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. All right, here comes touchy-feely James Merrillat, who thinks everybody needs to get a participation ribbon, and Vic Fangio needs to give all these young players a good old grandfatherly hug from time to time. James states his position next. It's all right, time now to talk with our buddy James Merrillat from 104.3thefan.com. He joins us now. And James, you put out all kinds of great stuff during the course of the week. But one thing that has kind of left me scratching my head is this feeling you have. And it surprises me because normally you're very angry, grumpy, frumpy, kind of like Vic Fangio. And yet you want Vic Fangio to go all huggy with his young players and shower him with love.
No, I don't want him to go all huggy. I just think, you know, you have to have a little bit of balance, right? Like, I have no problem with constructive criticism or any kind of criticism. I think if you're just a one-note kind of guy, though, and all you do is criticize people, I think it wears folks down over time. I think it's a little bit like, you know, raising kids. If all you do is criticize them, and it doesn't matter what kind of grades they bring home and what they do in their football game and how their band concert goes, you just, you know, constantly find issues with it. At some point, they're just going to throw up their hands and say, well, why am I doing this? What's the point? It's never going to be good enough. And Vic Fangio just does not throw around compliments very often. When he does, it's for, you know, odd people. It's Garrett Bowles and Brandon Allen. And I just think, you know, I think it would benefit him a lot if he would offset the criticisms with the occasional pat on the back. And it would inspire some hope in fans, right? Like, we all read the quotes from John Elway yesterday talking about Drew Locke, and John Elway didn't say, hey, he's going to, you know, be in the Ring of Fame and he's going to go to Canton, and man, it was the greatest performance I've ever seen in a first game from a rookie. But he had some positive things to say, and you at least go, all right, maybe we're on the right track. So I just think Vic Fangio's Eeyore act is wearing thin in a hurry.
Yeah, I don't know, James, I don't know about the Eeyore act. I mean, I want you to be who you are, but I think you bring up a very interesting point, something I didn't think about. And now that you said it, I'm like, wow, that does irritate me. Because it's inauthentic. When you go out of your way to praise a guy that we know is struggling, whether it's Brandon Allen or whether it's, you know, Garrett Bowles and they have done that, that rings hollow. And all the, you know, if it is constructive criticism, and this is the issue that I think Vic faces, even if it's constructive criticism, if you're praising Garrett Bowles for, you know, whatever you're praising him for, inside that team, then all of a sudden you become one of those guys that you're full of baloney, right? I mean, I think that would be a fear for me that you bring up, that I'm like, how do players respond to this guy when he has, you know, this inconsistency about him? And I guess that would be a real concern. So, you know, I just am agreeing with you on that. That one does bother me.
Yeah, no, I think that quickly undermines your credibility in the locker room, right? We've all been on any kind of team, whether it's at work or it's a sports team or whatever, and the guy in charge or the gal in charge is complimenting someone we all know is not very good, and they're being critical of us or our teammates, you know, you start looking around pretty quick, and it raises eyebrows. So, yeah, that's definitely a concern. The other part of it is, you know, Vic Fangio just seems to be really good at the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault, right? It's the officials, it's his quarterback, it's his offensive coordinator, it's Devontae Harris giving up too much room on the outside, it's Chris Harris and Kareem Jackson not communicating. It's always something. But when it goes right, man, he was the guy. Brad McManus made those two 50-yard field goals because Vic Fangio decided not to kick the 65-yarder and mess up his swing. That was Vic. And the Broncos got down there and got that game-winning field goal because Vic Fangio overrode his offensive coach and said, no, let's not take a knee, let's go do it. So, man, when there's credit to be given out, he's quick to jump on it, but he doesn't blame his precious defense for blowing three games on the final drive or blowing a 20-point lead in Minnesota or blowing a double-digit lead the other day against the Chargers. I mean, they're four games that if his defense, his pride and joy, simply does his job, this team wins, and they're 8-4. But I never hear Vic Fangio be at all self-critical, so that's the other thing that I think undermines you is when all you do is point fingers. It's a little bit like the tweet you sent to Antonio Brown the other day, right? All you do is point fingers and you never pull the thumb back at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, people start getting sick of that act as well.
Speaking of James Merrilack from 1043thefan.com, speaking of giving credit, you know, you write a lot of pieces about the Nuggets. I need to start seeing some stuff about the Avs, because the team over there at the Pepsi Center that has the best chance of going deep into a playoff run this summer, you realize, is the Avs and not the Nuggets.
Well, I don't disagree with that at all. I think they, in part, it's based on the way that the sport is constructed and the way the postseasons go, but also just based on the teams. This Nuggets team, and, you know, I've been taking heat, whether it's, you know, on the air in various interviews or on social media, because I've been critical of them, and all I hear is, oh, they're 10-3, they're 13-3, when are you going to apologize to them? And I just kept saying, look, there's red flags with this team, and the record may hide them, but they're going to jump up and bite them at some point. And they had the last couple games. They blew another lead in Sacramento and lost. They didn't look particularly great against the Lakers. And if I'm going to go into the postseason and I got to hitch my wagon to Nikola Jokic being big time in big moments or Nathan MacKinnon, I'll take Nathan MacKinnon all day long.
All right.
You know, I was just going to say, man, I talked to a couple NBA analysts here while I was out here in at Fox yesterday. And they all said the same thing. I said, okay, what's going on with the Nuggets? And they're like, I don't know, but Jokic does not look engaged. Jokic looks like, I don't know if he's injured or if there's some, he's disgruntled or whatever, but there's something wrong. I don't know. So I talked to different analysts that way.
There's an issue there. And, you know, the problem is they run everything through him, right? It's what makes them unique is they run their offense through their center. That's not how most teams do it in 2019 in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But when that guy's not engaged, that's why their offense looks so bad. That's why they've been blowing leads or getting behind so bad, because they go in these long, you know, stints where they can't score. So, yeah, he's not engaged. His coach has already had to pull him aside and try and light a fire on him. It's a problem that if they don't get it fixed, it's gonna hurt him in terms of playoff seeding, and it's certainly gonna hurt him in the postseason.
Okay, James, be listening here, because John Elway is about to do exactly what you want Vic Fangio to do. So we'll hear from John coming up here in a bit, okay?
All right, sounds good, Dave.
There he is. James Merrilack from 1043thefan.com. Hey, don't forget, coming up Saturday, something we're really proud to be a part of, Colorado 4A and 5A State High School Championships will air right here on The Fan. Zach Bye and Mike Pritchard will be on the call with Kendall Valenzuela working the sidelines. Excited to present this to the community. It'll start at 11 a.m. with Pine Creek and Broomfield, followed by Cherry Creek and Columbine. So that'll be all going on right here on The Fan. Yeah, John Elway. What does he think of Drew Lock? You'll hear it coming up next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.